Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:02 on ESPN 97.5. John and Del now for the rest of the way. Earlier in the show, we had a segment about Jerome's article. Jerome Solomon of the Houston Chronicle wrote that he's gone from number 12,734 on the season ticket waiting list to eligible to buy season tickets right now. He is joining us here on ESPN 97. You can hear him a lot on the afternoon with the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jerome, what's up?
How's it going, man? I'm excited. I'm number one.
You went from 12,000. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know what you did, but you moved up the ranks quite quickly, too. Now, Jerome, this was a possibility with all of the crap that's going on with that organization, with everything swirling around it, with how bad they're going to be in the near future. I could certainly see where it would, you know, the waiting list would be whittled down. But this is unbelievable. This number,
yeah, that it tells me that they obviously got a lot of people who decided not to renew, and so they had that many tickets available, I guess. And then they started calling people, and a lot of people were like me, like, oh, no, not this year. I'll pass. And so, but yeah, it's a horrible sign for, I mean, just a few years ago, and I kept a couple of those. So I had the email from 3 years ago when I was in the 18,000 or something. They had a waiting list of almost 20,000, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. And for it to be 12 something, and I just got it in, you know, mid-May. So it wasn't like it was, you know, a long time. So go from mid-May, and they called me back 2 weeks later saying, hey, you want to buy? And I'm like, no. I mean, it's not good at all.
No, I was talking about the blackout rule. That's been a year-to-year, suspended on a year. They look at it every year, whether or not they're going to blackout for teams that don't sell out. And that has, since 2015, they've slowed down on that. They haven't done that. And you can, there's all kinds of new rules as far as television goes. So I don't think we have to worry about that. And we've seen teams like the Chargers in LA. They don't sell half their tickets. That stadium, I mean, and they're still on local television. So that's not a worry. But the excitement about this team, the stature of this team, Jerome, where it was and where it is now, you mentioned it. It's all from the top. I think that Cal, the reign of Cal, has really, really destroyed this organization.
Yeah, it's never been lower. That's the thing. I mean, there have been times toward the end of a season when those 2-14 seasons were, you know, 75% of the stadium was empty by halftime, or, you know, nobody showed. I mean, people came, but it was sold out, but not anywhere near 100%. People just, in fact, I know some friends who, it's crazy, but they go to tailgate and don't even go to the games sometimes when it's bad, but not this far out. I mean, there's just no interest. I mean, I've had times where people offer me tickets and I'm trying to find somebody. I say, hey, I got somebody and give you free tickets, and people wouldn't go, but you can't even, it's going to be impossible to give away Texans tickets this year. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Unless they start off and win a bunch of games early. It's going to be really bad by midseason.
I'll tell you who's benefiting most. Jamie Roots. I mean, he had, I don't want to say he had it easy, but you know,
he had a perfect run.
He did. He was perfect. And now, bye, see ya. And now Greg Grissom's got this where I've never seen a billboard for Texans individual game tickets on sale in June. It just doesn't. It's just, I don't believe it's ever happened.
I mean, they would put them on like almost when the season's about to begin, but then only a few at a time where,
right. You
know, if they open it up and say, going on sale at 10 o'clock, and by 10:15, they're all gone. That's not happening. You couldn't put a billboard up because by the time you put a billboard up, all the tickets are sold. So that tells you how desperate they are now. And the thing is, the NFL is a foolproof business. Literally, a fool can run the team and not lose money. So it's not even about that, but it's about the entire – that will bleed over into the corporate relationships. I mean, those corporations spend a lot of money because they know there's 70,000 people there and people are paying attention to everything that the Texans do, and it's generally positive. Those corporations are going to, you know, probably have second thoughts about doing business, you know, partnerships with the Texans because they're not the hottest ticket in town anymore.
No, I know. At least, and oh, by the way, the people that spend the big money on those suites, I know three personally that are not re-upping. They're not. And that's
money they need.
That's money.
That's real money. Yeah, big time.
Yeah, absolutely. So will this be the first year that they don't sell out?
I can't see how it won't be. I mean, they're going to try all they can to sell them, and maybe they're going to lower prices or something. But at some point, they're not going to sell enough. And part of the reason they're able to sell out is because they sold so many season tickets. I mean, a year before the first game, they'd already sold like 40,000 season tickets.
Yeah.
Before they played a game. You know, I mean, before a game was even on the schedule. So at one time they sold over 90. They put it at 91% cap, so 91% of the stadium you could sell season tickets to, and they've always been capped out at 91% of the stadium. They're not going to get anywhere near that on season tickets, and the Texans aren't good enough for people to go wake up on Sunday morning and say, hey, let's go to the game, let's walk up and buy a ticket. People are not going to do that. So I'd be shocked if they don't have games this season that are not sold out.
Jerome Solomon with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, talking some Texans football. Jerome, where are you confidence? What did you think of Caserio's draft?
I listened to the draft experts like Lance, and I thought it was not good. But I'm totally against the quarterback thing. That just doesn't make any sense when you're as desperate as they are for players. You can't buy a lottery ticket. It's like I wrote it at the time of the draft. I mean, you're a household when your gas is about to be cut off and your water bill is late, and you're going to go buy lottery tickets? No, you got to get something that's real. And so I don't see that as being a particularly smart move. So they're not off to a great start in that. I do think they're going to be better than people think they are, but people think they're going to win one game. So I guess it's not hard to be better than people think they are, but I think they can win four or five games.
Yeah.
Because that's, you can do that in the NFL. You have to be horrible to win less than four games, you know? So I expect them to be a little bit better, more competitive. They should be more interesting. They'll definitely be more likable because David Culley is a likable guy. So they should start building some positiveness if they keep Jack Easterby out of the picture. And, you know, Cal doesn't like to do too much. So people will dog him and continue to dog him. Until they get some wins, it's just going to be a rough run.
Well, and to that quarterback situation, we've been saying here, if Davis Mills doesn't play this year and you find out what you got, and so that you know when you're drafting high next year whether or not you need a quarterback, or you can even trade out of that pick and get multiple picks because you believe in Davis Mills, then it's the dumbest pick ever if you don't play that kid this year.
And that's what makes it dumb. is he ready to play? You know, the only reason you would draft a guy like that is you know you're solid at the position and he'll be ready to play in a few years. Well, they're not solid at the position, clearly, because their best quarterback isn't going to be there. And, I mean, if they see something in him, they better have seen enough in him already. Forget whether he plays or not. They need to have already seen that he can be the future quarterback. And that, I think, is a huge risk anyway, because that – it just doesn't seem logical that he'd be that good.
Yeah.
He was that good coming out of high school. He was listed as one of the best, but he's had so many injuries, played so little. He certainly hasn't improved his stock. But, you know, that'll be one of those things. If they pull this off and he plays and becomes a really good player, we'll all look like idiots for having doubted them.
Is there any point where Janice says, okay, Cal, you can't run this team anymore?
I don't see that happening. Like I said, you can't lose money, you know? So unless it just really falls, aren't we at rock bottom now, though? I mean, can it get worse? I don't really think it can. So no, and it's a family business. It's a family side business at that. And he's not going to run it into the ground any farther than he has already. So there's no place to go but up. I expect them to start trending upward. And a couple of years from now, it'll be back to normal, and they'll be back to 8-7. 17 games? They'll be 9-8 and 8-9, and place will be sold out, and everybody will have forgotten how bad it was in 2020 and 2021. You know what people really missed out on? You know how ugly it would have been last year if they had been able to sell tickets? Texans fans didn't get to boo Bill O'Brien at all. I mean, he just got fired and they didn't even get a chance. The whole season would have just been a mess. And that's what we're going to have kind of this year. But these players, they're like the Astros. These are not the guys who were the trouble from the last year or so. You know, I mean, these are all new guys, new players, new everything. So I think it's going to be positive, more positive than we think now. Right now, it's horrible. I think it's going to be better.
I think they'll win 4 or 5 games too. And you know what? That's the worst thing that could happen. Look at the Jets. They blew it. Yeah. And Zach Wilson, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I don't know. He's a sure thing, but man, oh man, you don't think Jets fans would have definitely traded in those wins for Trevor Lawrence? Absolutely.
Yeah, tanking is not a good thing unless you're tanking for luck, you know?
Right. And there ain't
Trevor
no
Lawrence
luck.
Was one of those kind of guys. I don't think there is that this year. So, you know.
Well, you know what? Somebody always steps up. Maybe Keaton Slovis, maybe Malik Willis. We'll see. There's guys out there that can. JT Daniels. There's guys out there that can.
Yeah,
but it ain't no Trevor Lawrence.
Really there. Yeah, the can't miss isn't there. And I think it's better for your organization to put forth a winning attitude. And, you know, that's the Texans kind of showed by letting Bill O'Brien do everything that he did. That's why people think, oh, they don't even want to win, which is not true. We know it's not true, but their actions will make you believe that on some level. And
the problem is, though, that they were just too dumb to stop it. If Bill O'Brien walks into your office and says, I'm trading DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and David Johnson, you say, get the out of here. You leave my office before I'm going to put it into Madden. Oh, that's right. You can't do that. No, Madden won't let you do that. So we're not doing that. That's the problem, is they were too dumb to even stop Bill O'Brien.
When Bill O'Brien came in there and made that pronouncement, Cal McNair said, okay. Sure. Do it, Bill. I argue with people about this all the time. That's why I tell people the Texans are a great organization to work for, because you have a boss who will just say okay to anything you bring to him. That's a good position to be a general manager at if you're good at it.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien was not good at it. Nick Caserio is supposed to be good at it. I think he will be pretty good at it. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have some bumps in the road, but we'll see where he goes and how he gets it done. But he's running the whole organization now. And he hired a coach who will let him run it as well. So
Bo Cully?
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. We call him Bo Cully because he's going to get Bo Portered. As soon as they start winning, he's beat it.
Thanks for your help. Thanks for right.
Yeah.
What do they do with the horses? That you got to break them and throw. He's gonna break it while the horse is wild, and then once the horse settles down and becomes a good racehorse, bring somebody else.
Yeah, we got to put a new jockey on him. Sorry, beat it. Jerome, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for all you do for the station, man. And listen to his show on Sunday mornings,
Sunday morning, Houston Sports Show at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Sunday mornings, I listen to it on my way to church.
Thank you, fellas.
Okay,
thank
you. There's Jerome right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5 right here. We'll talk Astros. You got the Red Sox tonight. We'll talk about the matchup. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 10:19 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros baseball tonight, Valdez against Perez. Two lefties going at it, one from Dominican, one from Venezuela. Not that that matters. Now, Nathan Eovaldi is going to pitch in game two, right from right here, Houston's own, Nathan Eovaldi. Are you going to root for the Astros or Nathan Eovaldi, though, in game two?
I don't have any real connection to Nathan Eovaldi, so I think I'm rooting for the Astros.
But he's a Houston guy.
Yeah, but he's pitching against the Astros.
Yeah, I know, but it, once again, taking our talent, trying to beat us with our guys.
Well, I mean, it's not as if they stole him directly from the Astros.
Well, I kind of feel like they did.
So you don't think any
He was a possibility to sign here. I think he just wanted maybe too much money.
So you don't think any Houston player should play for another
no,
team?
No, Randall Grichuk, come, just, you know what, sign for whatever, here.
I bet
hometown, it's called a hometown discount. You don't know nothing about it. You wouldn't give that to your boss.
What are you talking about? Every day it's a discount. What are we talking about here?
And then it's in game three, Eduardo Rodriguez, another Venezuelan pitcher against Zach Greinke, who's not from Venezuela.
No.
No.
But he
he's
is.
He's from some alien country.
Well, I mean, he's from America.
Well.
I know you may think he's a bit of an alien, but that alien is
kinda,
six.
A little bit.
That alien is 6-2 right now. So.
Well, the Red Sox have won five straight. They went and swept the Yankees. They beat the Astros in the last game of the series. They swept the Yankees, and then they had a makeup game against the Marlins yesterday, and they won that game. And, you know, Alex Cora said, you know what? It was a little surprising that we beat Miami because you came off of a letdown with the Yankees all weekend. So they had that game, that buffer game between mm-hmm. the Astros here. So maybe they would have woken up. I would imagine they've got a little payback in mind for the Astros this weekend. I sure would like to see, and I mentioned a little earlier in the show, I sure would like to see McCormick in center field. I mean, dude, Straw.
Didn't we get a tweet from someone showing that Miles Straw is heating up?
He's heating up, and he's still 100 on some points, 125 points worse in OPS. He's still, I mean, everything about it. They have the same number of RBIs and 115 fewer at-bats. They've got five homers by McCormick versus none. In what metric can you possibly say that Miles Straw should be in center field? There is no metric.
He runs fast.
Yeah, great. And he can't even score on a single to left.
Well, you're asking him to slide and
all that. Yeah, I didn't want to put in all that slide stuff for him.
For what? For who? I believe is what he said.
That's
afterwards.
What he said.
Yeah.
He ran by Correa and went for what? For who?
Because yeah.
Correa was telling him, get down, get down.
I like clean pants.
For what? For who? I ain't sliding in this dirty ass trash ass city.
No, not Buffalo.
No. I don't know what this ground is. This is a minor league park. I don't know.
38 trash ass city.
Yeah, I ain't doing all that. I just ain't doing all that. So, you know, that's an issue facing the team. Jose Siri is still out there. You can do something
is
like that.
Is he allowed to play for the Astros?
Yes, he's allowed to play for the Astros. He's in their organization.
Otherwise.
He's allowed to play for the Astros. He's in the organization. I'm pretty sure he can. Other than that, everything should be hunky-dory. McCullers had a start this weekend. McCullers threw this weekend. So, you know, we'll see where that soreness is. It's starting to get a long time now.
From the 10-day IL to,
Yeah. How many days is this now? The last time that McCullers pitched was back to, June 3rd? No, not June 3rd. It was back to, let me see.
May 22nd.
May 22nd.
Yeah.
So now we're starting to add on some days.
Now, yeah.
We're starting to add on some weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a problem when you give a guy $17 million and he's not, you know, I know he was sick earlier in the year. That's something that he was sick. So he had to get healthy. But this is an injury again now. So when you're a smaller in stature, he is a smaller guy. He's about, 6 feet, 190 maybe?
I'd have to look. Yeah. Apparently, Michael Schwab, he of Astros Twitter.
He's 6'1", 202.
He said the he tweeted out about McCullough's rehab start anytime between the 6th and the 12th. I haven't seen anywhere that said he actually got that start in. So,
well, but either he threw, he did something this weekend.
He on the 5th, which was what, Saturday?
Yeah,
he was Saturday. On track. The Chronicle reported he was on track for a simulated game. Not sure if that simulated game has taken place.
Which
yet.
Means he would have had to throw in some.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to be loosening it up. Otherwise, they're not just going to throw him in a simulated game without being able to throw. So
Lance was tweeting about F1 on Sunday. Should I say, hey, how about you stop watching car racing, get back in the rotation? Because that feels like what a fan would do. Hey, you're too worried about car racing?
Shouldn't you have some ice on that?
Yeah, stop worried about Michael Schumacher doesn't race anymore. Stop worried about Lewis Hamilton and get back out on the mound.
Your prediction when he comes back, what happens with the rotation?
If it's anything but Odorizzi beating it to the bullpen, we're going to have a problem.
What about Urquidy to the bullpen?
Look, he didn't pitch well in his last start, but he hasn't been worse than Odorizzi.
No, he didn't pitch well in his last start, but so in his career, he started all but two games. He's coming in relief in only two games out of 24.
Urquidy.
And Odorizzi, though, he hasn't been in a bullpen since 2016.
And it's funny how we're treating... We need to banish the bad pitchers to the bullpen like the bullpen isn't a huge problem and good pitchers would be great down there. I don't know why we're like, just send the crappy one down there. No, we actually would need someone to do the job well.
Well, yeah, but I would...
Would Odorizzi be
Garcia
good in the bullpen?
Or Keady or Odorizzi go to the bullpen, then they're going to be better.
Based on Odorizzi? Based on what? Just the pelts
on
the wall?
Well, he did have one. His first, and when he returned, he had one good start.
And then what was his last outing like?
Yeah, that doesn't tell why you always got to go to the bad one.
It's not the bad one. It's the most recent one.
Yeah, I know. So he pitched three innings and gave up three runs.
As long, we've had this talk a couple of times. Find me the guy who is willing and able to do that job, because I don't know if Odorizzi, if he goes down there, is a guy you can bring in. Now, obviously, he's a former starter at that point, so you'd want to bring him to start innings, not in the middle of it to shut one down. But can Dusty tell him with, I don't know how long it would take, with 20 minutes notice, hey, you're in, and can he get himself right?
Well, yeah, he hasn't done it in so long, I don't know, and he's an older player, and he's injury prone. So Odorizzi starts this year. It's pretty impressive.
Is it?
3 1/3, 5 earned runs. 4 1/3, 4 earned runs. 1/3 of an inning, no earned runs. Mm-hmm. That was when he got hurt. 5 1/3, 1 earned run. 3 earned runs.
You feel good about that?
He's averaging about 4 innings per start. That sounds like a good reliever. He's got a 7.16. I think he fits perfectly into the bullpen.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
He can give you 3 1/3.
Uh-huh. And how many runs?
He can give up 3 runs.
Yeah.
He sounds just like an Astro reliever.
I don't want him to sound like an Astro reliever. I want him to be a plus in a bullpen, not, hey, let's stay consistent with crap. Banish whoever you want to banish because they're not good enough to be the starter, because Garcia has been this prodigy, this revelation, but or is it revelation? No, revelation. But do the job. I don't want you to go down there and be just like everyone else.
No, if you're going in the bullpen, when in Rome.
No. Rome burned. Remember, Rome ended at some point. I don't want the back. I don't want the end of Rome.
There's no more Rome anymore?
The Roman Republic that everyone writes stories about. That ended. I don't need
that. The Roman Empire.
Yeah, the Empire Republic. They wanted it to be a republic. And, you know, hey, let's just conquer everyone, though. But we'll still call it a republic. I don't need that ending. I need the beginning when they were, marching through foreign lands and taking over and being this bastion of civility. I need that Odorizzi. Not the one where they shank Julius Caesar so many times. I don't want that one.
Yeah, not that one. At two Odorizzi?
Yeah, I don't want that one. I need the
I
good
don't
stuff.
Think it's at two Odorizzi.
Well, if he pitches like Italian. The rest of the bullpen.
Yeah, and he's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what he was doing then. So it's 10:29 ESPN 97.5. Earlier in the show, I pose the question, Chris, who do you want to see win a title more, Chris Paul or James Harden? There's implications. If you want to get in and give your 2 cents, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
A three by Chris Paul! Bodies on the floor like bowling pins! And Paul laces one up! He has been a flamethrower in this fourth quarter!
All right, Chris Paul, looking good. I don't know if they'll win the West. It'll be nice to see him get to the Western Conference Finals if they do. Without Jamal Murray, Denver's just not as good.
No. They started off that second quarter strong. I think they forced a timeout coming out of that, like, the first break, and then Phoenix got their legs under them and kind of slowly brought them in, then exploded in that third and fourth quarter. Can you imagine if it's Chris Paul versus the Clippers for a chance at the finals? All the stuff, the storylines coming out of that. The Clippers, who've, by the way, because of some of Chris Paul's failures and injuries, have never been to a conference final. If they can get through Utah, and then they're playing Chris Paul for a chance to get to the finals.
Oh.
It's the only reason, before this last year and the year before, the only relevancy in our time watching basketball is Chris Paul and the Clippers. Like, when were the Clippers ever relevant except for Chris Paul?
Boy, it sure would be nice to see a good game. I mean, one enable. I would imagine the Utah Clippers series is going to be good.
A Utah Clippers series? If it happens?
Did I say Utah Clippers?
Yeah, okay.
I would imagine the Jazz and Clippers. Oh. That's going to be a good series.
You got to hope. I posed a question on the rundown. If we decided to take a night off from the NBA and just watch the NHL, would we be better off?
It's more exciting. It just isn't of interest here.
Yeah.
I wish that it was. I've never been in a hockey city. I've never worked in a hockey city. I've lost, all touch with the NHL because, we don't have to cover it if nobody cares about it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody just wants to, they just want to talk golf here. So.
Sure.
Did that
come up yesterday?
What?
Well, when we had a discussion.
How much people wanted to talk? I mean, how many segments did we do on John Rahm? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that was
the most calls we've gotten on a subject in like 17 years.
That was
here.
About vaccines, not really golf.
No, it was all about golf. Well,
I don't know if you've heard.
A lot of people broke down when they saw John Rahm.
Well, I mean, we had a breakdown of civility when we had a caller cuss out an intern and then, compared Lance to a Nazi because of vaccines. So someone did break down mentally, at least.
Yeah, that was Longhorn Scott.
Yes.
Boy, Chris Paul against the Clippers storylines. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Partly just because I can't find myself rooting for the Jazz. That's probably the conference finals I want to see. I just can't get behind rooting for the Jazz.
And then I don't know. I have no idea who can beat the Nets. They're just.
I don't know.
You want to talk about a juggernaut? Maybe, I don't know.
Or maybe just the East just stinks, and they'll see a Western Conference team who'll give them a challenge. That's what you have to hope for.
Yeah. I don't believe Milwaukee stinks, though. I just think they're making them look. Now, maybe it's just a horrible matchup for them.
Well, they're not making shots.
I mean, yeah, because Middleton has not played well against the Nets.
No, it's apparently his kryptonite.
Yeah.
There's some thought of maybe, you were talking about why is Brook Lopez in the game. Should Budenholzer start Giannis at the five?
Well, he should stop playing a zone. That's for one thing.
Yeah, well, that's a guy who
said. But you got to, I guess, with those two big guys.
Well, this is a guy who decided he was watching that game going, I can't stop these guys in man-to-man, and then he chose the worst option and went to zone.
Yeah.
He goes, Kevin Durant. It's breaking down everybody. So is Kyrie. They're making step back jumpers, crossing guys over, getting any shot they want. Let's put them in a zone where Kevin Durant can stay at the top of the zone and just shoot jumpers. I watched it. And Blake Griffin, because he's had a pretty good series, I watched Giannis decide to leave Kevin Durant in the zone and go,
what?
Kind of challenge Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin was like, look, I'm okay, but Kevin Durant stand. I'm just going to pass him the ball, and Kevin Durant knocked down a jumper, a standstill three pointer. I don't. It doesn't feel like the Bucks practice zone very much because there's some teams who run it, and it almost feels like a matchup 2-3. The Bucks are pretty much stationary and getting destroyed.
Doesn't seem like basketball IQ to me
to leave Kevin Durant
for and, Blake Griffin.
Look, yes, the Blake has played well, but the odds are let him shoot it and see what happens. I just think they probably are going to have to. We talked about on Friday, could the Bucks, because of their size, make it tough on the Nets? At least I thought possibly, but the fact that if Chris Middleton's not going to complement that size by, you know, making shots, I think you got to go smaller and be more athletic and hope. And if Giannis has to play the five, and I don't know if you put PJ Tucker in at the four, I don't know what you do, but I don't know how many minutes you can play with Lopez out there. Not the way the Nets are moving the ball.
Well, it's just a bad plan. Budenholzer will if they continue to look like this, if they don't turn it around in Milwaukee and make this a series, he's out.
Yeah, people forgot just because they swept the Heat that he's been a noted playoff. If choker's the right word, I don't know, but he has been out coaching playoff series consistently in series where they allegedly were the favorite. Don't let beating the broken down 6-seed Heat change things. Budenholzer had plenty of questions about him. And the problem for him, certainly being down 0-2, but the Bucks don't have any more moves to make. You traded all you could to get Drew Holiday. He signed an extension. You got Chris Middleton under contract. Giannis obviously signed his extension. There are other moves to make than to fire the coach.
And if not, if you don't make some moves and you make some kind of a night. I know that Drew Holiday was supposed to be the answer, but apparently, you know.
Only against the Heat.
Right.
They plan to. Look, when you take out the conference champions, when you plan to beat them, I get it because they took you out. But the Nets were waiting. They just didn't get to play together last year because of injuries. And you don't match up. You don't have a plan. So I think Budenholzer is going to be shown the door.
Iskelski says CP3 all day. Harden and that idiot Daryl Morey shipped out of Houston. Hope he gets a ring and rubs it in their faces. You know what? It would be, you talk about if he gets through the Clippers and then he gets through James Harden.
And think of Daryl Morey's path. They lost last night. We'll see if, Sunday. They lost Sunday. Let's see if they can respond. But Daryl Morey's path includes if his Sixers can get through their series, losing to the Nets with James and then watching James lose to Chris Paul.
Or watching James lose to Kawhi Leonard, who Daryl Morey should have drafted.
That's another option.
There's another one for Daryl.
He took a Morris
instead
of Kawhi
Marcus.
Leonard. Yeah.
He took Marcus Morris instead of Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, it wasn't unreasonable to think he should have, because the very next pick was Kawhi Leonard.
And you mean the Marcus Morris who might win a title with Kawhi Leonard?
How about that? That one.
Yeah.
How would that be for Daryl, too? Mm. Oh, crap. Look at that. Oh, there's six degrees to Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
There's 6 degrees to Daryl Morey in this entire playoff.
And all of them end in tears. And then you can top all that off with a $75,000 fine for talking about Steph Curry.
Yeah. And it all comes back to the Rockets as well. This is all 6 degrees of the Houston Rockets.
You could have had Kawhi, you had Chris Paul, you had Marcus for a short stint, and then you had James.
Yeah, Daryl Morey. You had Clint Capella, who's still in the playoffs.
Correct.
You've had... Who else is in the playoffs at the Rock? There's more.
Yeah.
There's Lou Williams.
Yep. Still in the playoffs with the Hawks.
But he's got to sit behind Trey.
It's true.
He's actually not nearly as important anymore.
No.
There's more. We're missing some.
PJ?
PJ is
probably not. It's not going to end well for PJ, no.
Not for long the way he's playing.
No.
Yeah. There's a lot of former. Man, the Rockets were good.
Well,
remember when the Rockets were good?
Yeah.
And they had a lot of players in the playoffs on their own team?
Yeah. Chris Paul, clearly.
When they were in the playoffs on their own team?
I remember that team, yes.
Yeah.
That was a good basketball team.
That was
fun. Team.
That was great. That was great. I want to see Chris Paul win a title. I love the way he was, how he played, how he makes every team he's on better. Maybe he hasn't been good enough earlier in his career. He certainly is showing now, and he was good enough when he was here. He just got hurt again. Mm-hmm. That's part of the. But listen, that's part of his resume.
Now, at least it appears that he's over that shoulder injury, and that might be a game to game aggravation thing. But he was just fine last night. So if they get the healthy Chris Paul, yeah, I think if I got to take one, it's clearly Chris Paul. I was asking myself, who would I want to win a title? And it's probably the most likable team out there. It's got to be the Suns, right?
Yeah,
or maybe the Hawks. You might like the Hawks too, but the Suns and the Hawks would be the one. The two.
Jazz.
No, yeah, the Jazz. You can't like the Jazz. No.
Well, they don't like Jazz fans.
Yeah.
I think that's a...
The team itself is not disliked, although Rudy Gobert is patient zero, so people dislike him. You know, there's a name... we talk about great nicknames. We've heard of Street Clothes for Anthony Davis. After last night's performance, I've seen people start to call Giannis Feta World Peace. You're Greek. You know about Feta.
I know Feta.
Yeah, Feta.
Oh, yeah.
Feta World Peace.
It's Feta. Man, people.
Brutal.
Can we just leave? I mean,
no.
Dude feels bad enough.
No.
Calling him Feta World Peace.
Keep shooting three-pointers with 8 feet of distance with 18 seconds left on the clock because Blake Griffin doesn't respect you. You get called Feta World Peace when that happens.
All right. It's 10:43 now on ESPN 97.5. When we come back... Should you stop for gas in a police chase? And do you want to look like you pissed your pants?
Okay.
That's that and more questions. Huge questions answered on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
But first,
I want to talk about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. We love these guys here. We were with another payroll company. An HR company, and they were not good. They were bad. And so there is a difference in payroll companies. And our payroll company will put them up against any payroll company. And, you know, there's so many people that get taken by this deal because, well, we're going to compare prices on the payroll. Well, they're cheaper. Okay, well, you know what the game is now, right? Is that they may be cheaper in their payroll, but then you're going to have to take their benefits packages, their 401k package, their insurance package. And guess what? That's going to destroy you. HRMP, that ain't what they're about. HRMP says all we do is payroll and HR. Now, we're going to show you here are the best insurance packages for you. Here are the best 401ks. Here are the best benefits packages for you. And you get to pick. So when it's all said and done, you're saving money with HRMP. You're getting the service, which is second to none, the technology, which is second to none. You're getting the best payroll company. So if you're looking for that payroll company, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
So I'm looking in, looking at a story here, Del. It's about a hospital in Agra. So we're talking about Middle East here, a hospital in Agra, and... There are other stories on the side. One says a 95-year-old woman was locked in a toilet for 2 weeks by her son. Oof. That doesn't seem...
It's not a great mother-son relationship. Was this an out... Was a lock on the outdoor, outside of the door? How do you get locked
maybe
in
Maybe she couldn't...
At 95,
there's... Know.
Yeah, but... Ooh,
I don't know.
I feel like I would have gotten out.
It's only yeah.
He put a padlock on it.
This story has to do with a hospital. Apparently, they have a shortage of oxygen in Agra. So the owner of the hospital, he says, we started counseling families. Some were willing to listen, but others, they would not leave. I said, okay, let's do a mock drill. We will find out who will die and who will survive. So we did it at 7 a.m. A mock drill was done. No one knows. We turned off the oxygen for 5 minutes. Then we identified 22 patients. We realized they would die. They started turning blue. So, I think that's, you know what? That's a pretty good way to go about it.
Is it really a mock thing if you're
listening? No, it's real.
Yeah, if you're turning off and people are about to die.
Let's see who will die.
That's not a mock experiment.
No. I don't know how you do a mock drill. Maybe it was whether or not if the oxygen was off, he's saying. I don't know.
Yeah, but you actually turned it off and people were near death.
Yeah, yeah. So that was probably a bad way. Well, his license has been suspended, and so he's.
Well, would you look at that?
Yeah. So apparently there was a wild motorcycle chase. This happened in San Gabriel Valley. The motorcycle rider, he could be seen wearing a sweatshirt that read, "I don't stop for cops."
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he had to stop for gas.
I come from Southern California, the capital of the world for police chases. So we used to see him every day coming home from school. I always thought you hide in a garage of a mall. You zoom in there, you park your car, and you dip and you hope not to be found. I never thought to myself, on the way there, I'd stop to get gas. It seems like you're asking to get caught. And did he get caught after stopping for gas, John?
Yeah, he did. But to me, it's like a Ponzi scheme. At some point, you're going to run out of money, right, in a Ponzi scheme. At some point, it catches up to you. You know, if you're in a Ponzi scheme, that there's going to be some point where you've spent the money and it's going to run out, okay? Mm-hmm. Unless you continue to get – but it's such a game that you can't ever – I don't know. Maybe there have been Ponzi schemes that have been successful. Most seem to. And maybe there have been police chases that have worked out.
Some people get away. The police decide it's too much of a danger to the surrounding public, so they let you go. You're going too fast. Whatever. It has happened. Yes.
But for the most part, at some point, you know this.
Yes.
I'm going to run out of gas.
Yeah, it's poor planning, I'd say. At some point, you figure, look, before I decide to stop at the local Chevron to pick up gas, I got to find an exit. I got to find a way to get out of this. And if not, as per usual, you're going to get caught. But I don't think stopping for gas should be on the menu in a police chase.
No. Boy, this is not good. University of Miami Miller School of Medicine researchers are the first to demonstrate COVID-19 can be present in the penis tissue long after men recover from the virus, which leads to ED.
Oh, it affects you. I thought it was going to be something like you could pass it on to a partner.
No, it means it. You know what COVID does? It makes you tired. What if it makes your?
How long does this last in the tissue?
I don't know. We're stuck. I hope they find out about it.
So if you are incapable of performing
right now after you had COVID,
it's not about you.
It's not
or your partner. It's about COVID. Like, you could always blame COVID for your lack of production.
Yeah, this isn't on me.
Maybe Kristaps Porzingis has. Maybe that's why he's always
so tired.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dell, I don't know if you're going to like this fried crispy chicken place. So a Philippine woman ordered crispy fried chicken.
Okay.
This is something that you do.
Oh, spicy.
Yeah. Well, apparently she got a fried towel instead.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what they thought was a breast was actually a towel that was rolled up to look kind of like a piece of chicken, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right
now.
Do
you think that you want to eat fried towel?
I'm not going to Jollibee, which is where this fried towel was served. You could see the green of the towel. How does that make it into a box? Or did it come off after she, tried to grab it and take a bite? Ooh, that's like when they leave something in you in surgery. You're like, that's bad.
Yeah,
I'd have a problem with it, but I more have a problem with the fact that there's no spiciness involved.
No, there was no.
It's not.
There's some green stuff on that I didn't like. Yeah, I don't think I want on my chicken or towel. I don't want it.
So are we saying there's a lack of, maybe not customer service, but lack of quality control?
Yeah, quality control.
At Jollibee?
I think that's the case.
Like
they'll serve fried towel.
Well, towel or wrap part.
Yeah,
because we've seen those two.
I'm pretty sure that's next. I'm pretty sure people have been eating that there too.
Yeah.
Apparently, a woman, 21-year-old woman in Texas, this happened. She was none too pleased with the price of her mani-pedi. So she shot the owner of the store. And it's in Harris County. This happened in Harris County.
So the price wasn't agreed upon beforehand?
Did you don't
upcharge
well,
her?
Maybe that was it.
Or don't you know? Look, I'm not a mani-pedi person, but don't you know the price of it before you get it?
She's not going to like her bond. It's $60,000.
More than the mani-pedi cost.
Right.
I just feel like you know what the price will be beforehand, unless this woman lied to you and then, or the place lied to you and they all of a sudden charge you more than you thought. But pulling out a gun seems like an aggressive approach to that.
If you didn't like the price, wait till you find out the price of your lawyer and all your court fees
and
everything else.
Are you suggesting shooting someone isn't the appropriate response to a price disagreement?
No, but she apparently is very conscious of her of her money and how she spends her money.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't gonna like this.
No.
No.
Maybe take the loss on this one.
Yes.
Take the L. Don't pull out a gun. You'll get over it.
Yeah. A Tennessee woman accidentally bought a loaded handgun at a church rummage sale. Do you think that you want to buy a loaded handgun at a church rummage
sale?
How
do you accidentally buy a gun?
She bought a loaded Glock 23, believing it was an airsoft gun.
Whoa.
Yikes. Here, kid. Here, son. Come here.
You know how I know you shouldn't have a gun? You can't tell the difference?
Between Wait. The church couldn't tell the difference.
Well, that's the church. They're selling it. But if you don't know the difference, if you're trying to purchase a gun, maybe you shouldn't have it.
Yeah. No, right. Well, but I want to buy a gun for my kid, you know.
Yeah, but maybe know what the gun looks like and what it is first.
Didn't you have a gun when you were a kid?
No. Well, I had toy guns.
Toy guns.
Actually, toy guns.
Toy guns. She's just being a good mom.
That's a terrible mom.
She said... she wanted to buy the holster the 40 caliber handgun was in and thought the weapon was an airsoft gun. When she got home, she said she realized it was Glock 23 and there was full of one full magazine and one in the chamber.
So, yeah, my son is into reptiles. Can I have a snake? Is that a garter snake? It's a venomous cobra?
Wow.
Is that what I bought my 8-year-old to play with? Bad parenting. I'm going to side on that.
No, she got home and she found out. Here, before she gave him the gun to go play with.
Well, did she check the car? Did she check the chamber?
It was loaded in the chamber.
I just think if you are making a gun purchase, know what the gun looks like first.
Yeah. The California man who killed his wife and propped her on a sofa as the children opened Christmas presents, he's been sentenced to 15 years, Del. Do you think that you should kill your wife?
No.
And prop her up. But at least the kids had a nice Christmas morning.
Was it more like Weekend at Bernie's where it was clever and funny? Or was it like the end of 000?
It was the end of 000.
Okay.
Where mom is there watching. Well, not really watching.
She wasn't watching. The lights are out in that case.
Ugh. That's not a great... Well, Christmas morning was great. Not so much Christmas afternoon.
But, Dad, you could have divorced her. We could have had double Christmases. You didn't have to do that, Dad.
We're done. Charlie Peloto's next right here on ESPN 97.5. Have a great day, everybody.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.